You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to show number 288. Today is Thursday, February 12th, 2015, and my name is Steve. No Hammy or Kurt tonight, but we are very happy to be joined by J.J. Cooper, writer and editor at Baseball America, to talk about the Braves' overhauled farm system. J.J., thanks for joining us. How are you tonight?
Good, very good. It is, you're right, it is an overhauled system. There's no question about that.
It really is. So, you know, I want to start sort of stepping back a minute. The Braves were a 96-win team 2 years ago. Now, I grant you last season was an unmitigated disaster. But do you agree with all these off-season moves from a strategic sort of long-term standpoint? Did this have to happen?
I think it did if you were looking at it. I think you hit the key word there, strategic long-term situation. Really, I think that these moves were more about what was this team going to look like in 2016, 17, 18, 19, more so than it is fixing the problems for 2000. Clearly, it's not fixing the problems for 15 because this team's going to be worse. Right. I think it's pretty clear in 15. But if you look at the long term, coming into the offseason, I don't think there really was a rosy scenario with the current club looking in the long term. Obviously, a number of these guys were going to be, you know, free agents before then. And you throw on top of that that the farm system was just really as bad as I can remember a Braves farm system being. I covered the Macon Braves from 95 to 2000 for the Macon Telegraph. So, I mean, I covered the Braves, I guess, a little bit even before that for the AJC. So, I mean, that, you know, going back the last 25 years, I think this was kind of the low point for the farm system. And obviously, they've done a whole lot this offseason to try to fix that. So they didn't have reinforcements in the farm system to fix the problems that they have in the long term at the big league level. So I think that's why they decided, let's tear this down and start over in some ways.
Do you agree that the farm system has gone? Well, I think we can all agree it was bottom five or bottom. Do you think it's gone to like a top 10, top five farm system now?
No. I don't think it goes there. I would say it's still kind of a middle of the pack. It could maybe be a little better than that. If you said top 10, maybe, it's definitely not top five. They still right now, what they've done is, and considering that, you know, some of the guys they've traded, this makes a little sense, but what they've done is they've traded in many cases for players who are high risk, high upside guys. Well, but they traded for them at a time where there, in many cases, their value is a little less than it would have been a year ago or 2 years ago, and they're kind of making a gamble that they're going to get the ceiling out of the guy. Max Fried's not a top 100 guy right now, because at least in our mind, because he could be that, but you want to see him come back from Tommy John. Sometimes guys stay in the top 100 when they're having, you know, during their Tommy John. Max Fried was not that level where they always take a hit for that. The hit for him kind of drops him out of that top 100. You look at Manny Benuelos. Manny Benuelos is a guy who a couple of years ago looked like a real premium prospect, and it's kind of taken a step back. So, you know, with him, you say, okay, he's still a quality prospect, but not as good as he would have been if you were talking about him a couple of years ago. And he's showing he can stay healthy. Tyrell Jenkins really needs to show he can stay healthy. I mean, he's a guy, we have a lot of guys who a year from now could be top 100 guys if they put it together.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of buy low sort of approach, it seems like,
exactly,
to get volume. So who's your number one prospect right now in the Braves system?
Right now, I still think I probably still would have Peraza. Well, not probably. I would have Peraza number one.
Okay.
You know, we did an updated. I think the most recent update we did, we still had Peraza number one. And I'd say Fulton, right? Fulton Awitz would be two. So, I think in the most recent, we've done a couple of updated top 20s. We did an updated top 20 at baseballamerica.com, and then the Braves went out and did some more stuff. So we did another updated top 20 that John Manuel with us talked to the AJC's Dave O'Brien about. And that one, I think more than half of the current top 20 are guys that bought in this offseason, which is just crazy. I mean, that doesn't happen very often.
So if you take Peraza off the table for a minute, who do you think's the next most likely guy we'll see, you know, with the major league team?
So this year, Betancourt technically still qualifies too. So I'd say Betancourt because I mean he's obviously. I'm going to be interested to see what Betancourt ends up doing because I don't think. And maybe I'm being a little harsh on him, but I'm a little concerned still about the bat. And I don't think that he's as good a defender right now. He has a great arm. But obviously a great arm by itself does not equal that he's a great defender. I want to see, you know, how well he's going to do behind the plate defensively as well. Obviously the Braves have brought in a whole lot of inventory at catcher recently. But I think that you look at that and you say, okay, so I'd say Betancourt. After Betancourt, Jace Peterson should be up this year. If you're talking about guys for this year,
yeah.
I think Peterson could, you know, Peterson's another guy who could make some sort of impact this year. And then second half of the season, maybe, maybe Jason Hirsch would be another guy. Oh, and actually, I'll give one other. Orlando Vizcaino, if he can stay healthy, very well could fit into a pen that, he'll have to look around. I mean, he's going to have a lot of guys who could be his mentor because you're going to have a lot of guys in that pen look like they're going to be 5, 10 years plus older than him. So, yeah, I think Vizcaino could definitely see significant innings this year because he's pretty close to big league ready.
Yeah, and there's a little more room now with the Shea Simmons news this afternoon.
Awful. Yeah, that's bad news. That's, you know, and it does seem like it's happened to the Braves a good bit lately, but at the same time, it does happen to everyone. But TJ is kind of an unavoidable curse of baseball right now, it seems like.
All right, so staying with pitchers, do you think Foltynewicz is going to be a AAA all year? Do you think he's any chance he wins the fifth spot? What do you think about him?
I think he could win the fifth spot. Foltynewicz is, if he wins the fifth spot, that's great news for the Braves because, like you said, with Foltynewicz, they're not buying low by any stretch. I mean, he made it to the majors last year, but there's still that question about, okay, is he going to be able to put it all together to start? And if he does, then that's a massive win for the Braves on that trade. Because if he does, I mean, you're talking about a premium arm. He has, pure velocity-wise, he's one of the hardest-throwing starting pitchers in the minors the last couple of years. Now, I don't think his fastball plays as well as the radar gun sometimes. It's a little straight. It's not the most, it's not the liveliest. It's not, you don't have a whole lot of deception to it. But it is, I mean, 100 is 100. You know, 100 is still tough to catch up to, even if it is a little bit straight. So if he shows he can throw enough strikes to be a fifth starter, and kind of even if that means that he takes a couple of lumps that he learns from and it's better in the second half of the first, that's great news for the Braves. And he is another guy who I would expect that you will see him in Atlanta this year. But if I'm Atlanta, kind of what you said, there's no doubt he can help in the pen right now, but if I'm Atlanta, I want to keep working on him starting rather than kind of shuttling it into that pen role when, again, this is not a season. You're not going into the season saying, well, the Braves are looking like a World Series contender.
Right. I know he's years away, but what do you think about Ricardo Sanchez, that prospect from the Angels?
I really like him. I did the Angels list last year, which, in the office, I was one of those like, okay, someone has to do it. I mean, that was the Angels farm system for the 2014, but it was the dead last in our organization talent rankings. Sanchez was truly one of the bright spots, though, because he is a pretty polished guy for his age. He's still obviously very young. He hasn't made it, he's had multiple season ball. But the makings are there of a very interesting middle-of-the-rotation starter. He's got to show he can maintain it, over his starts. He's got to show that he can maintain it from start to start. But he's so young that that's not really a giant concern yet. And as far as stuff, you're talking about a guy who has, again, the stuff. You see him on a good night, and you say, yeah, this is a middle-of-the-rotation starter. You see on a bad night, the velocity could be, a good 3-4 miles an hour down from what you see on a good night. So, there's a lot of variability still there. Obviously, there's a lot of variability. You're talking about a teenage pitcher.
Yeah.
But, to me, if you look at this, if you look at their current pitching depth in the minors, I kind of think he's actually in some ways got more chance to be, he's almost one of the safer guys in there. I can't believe I'm saying that with a teenage pitcher, but so he's got less hickeys right now. Maybe that's partly because he's so young. He has less hickeys than some of the other Braves starting pitching prospects. Bolsonaro, you find a number of guys who think he's going to end up being a reliever. Lucas Sims, much like when we talk about Ricardo Sanchez, Sims in the first half of the season last year had a whole lot of starts where you'd say, wow, there's just nothing here that jumps out as a major league caliber. It was a lot better in the second half. Yeah, Jason Hirsch, he could be a solid starter, but he doesn't wow a whole lot of guys. It's Sanchez and Jenkins are the guys that if you're really dreaming on them, you can see everything coming together and go, okay, there could be something special there if it all comes together. But both those cases, kind of a big if.
So I'm really dreaming that Banuelos can regain the form that the Yankees thought he would. How likely do you think that is?
I'd say less than 50%. If you say like that, regain the form, there was a time, if you go back a few years now to spring training, Yankees fans, all they could do was talk about Danny Banuelos.
Yeah.
And they thought, wow, this guy, is he ready? Is he ready? And the answer is no. And then injuries since then, you could really say that, the reality is that his stuff just has not been as firm, lately. And with that, sometimes it does come back, but you got to be skeptical that it's going to come all the way back, because I'd say that happens less often than once a guy kind of loses some stuff, it kind of stays lost. But I do think that there is a pretty decent chance that he ends up being a useful big leaguer, just not maybe at the same level that what you were kind of hoped for. Really just you rewind the clock 2 years back to 2012. Your hope with Banuelos is that, okay, he missed all of 13. And 14, you didn't see it as consistently. You did see the times, though. He did touch 97 last year. So there are some reasons to think, okay, this may have come all together. Again, I put it at maybe 50-50 at the best. But if it does, yeah, absolutely. He's another guy. The thing the Braves have done is it's inventory. They have a whole lot of these guys now, which there are a lot of risky guys, but you mitigate that risk if you have 7, 8, 9 of them. And the reality is that if we'd have been having this conversation at the end of October, we'd have been talking about, okay, well, they just don't have guys who project as big league starters. They just really didn't. Now they do.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to position players, JJ. Uh-huh. So assuming BJ does not regain his form, I know it's crazy talk.
That's a situation you really kind of, obviously I feel for Braves fans, and I even feel a little bit for B.J. Upton from the standpoint of, that just is not going to be fun in any way, shape, or form. Because, you're talking about a player who the fan base is just really does not want to see in the lineup. And they're pretty much stuck with him. It just sure does seem like it's headed towards a Dan Uggla type resolution at some point. At this point, yeah, you're kind of crazy if you think, it's almost crazy to think it won't end up in some way that way.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously, forget the money for a second. What a miserable 2 years he personally must be having. these last two seasons, you know, just awful. So do you think that Malik Smith could be the answer in center, at least short term?
I think he's further away than, say, short term, because you're talking about a guy who was in low A at the start of last year, had to repeat low A to kind of prove he could handle that and then move up. I like Malik Smith. I'm not saying he can't be a regular. I still think he's probably more likely, if it all puts it together, he ends up being kind of a 300, 400 at bat guy at the best. I'm not sure if the bat's going to be good enough to be better than that. But I think he's a pretty useful player because the glove plays, the speed plays, and he has made some significant strides with the bat. You can talk to scouts who do see him as a regular. I always kind of come back with him to kind of, to me, like what you're hoping for there is kind of a Jerrod Dyson type as far as production. But, and then you could say Jerrod Dyson, I mean, that's again what I'm talking about starter. Like Jerrod Dyson plays a lot for the Royals, but, you know, he isn't kind of, I guess, that everyday starting center fielder. He's more of a guy who plays, who starts some, and then on other days he comes in, you know, in the sixth, seventh inning because, especially in the National League, you can always use that guy. Get a guy on base, you pitch run for him, and then he stays in for his defense in center. I kind of see him as that kind of guy.
Okay. What about Rio Ruiz? I mean, people talk about him as possibly the third baseman of the future. How do you project him?
I think he's definitely a third baseman of the future. That doesn't mean he'll definitely make it because, you're talking about, again, when you're talking about guys who aren't top 100 guys, and I don't see Ruiz yet as a top 100 guy, you got to say there's a lot of risk involved. I mean, let's go back to that. You know, if you're talking about big league regular, maybe it's a 50-50 shot that he becomes a big league regular, but the tool, everything is there for him to be a pretty solid big leaguer. He made strides the last 2 years. There's always been some questions. There's some questions, guys. You can talk to scouts who say, I don't know defensively if he's going to be able to handle it over there. You talk to other guys who go, no, he can do it. I guess what put it is that it's probably unlikely to project him as an above-average defender at third, but it's not crazy at all to project him as potentially an average defender at third. Again, you're probably not going to see him as a three-hole hitter, more probably as a, you know, hit six or something in the lineup, hit for average, reasonable average, hit for some power. If it all comes together, kind of, you know, 270, 15-20 homer kind of guy, which nowadays, you know, 10 years ago would sound awful. Nowadays sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I think, what you could kind of hope for him.
What do you think about Zolio Almonte? Do you think he could be an answer in left field or at least, you know, platooning with, who's the guy we just got from the A's? Blanking on him.
I'm blanking too because they've made so many moves in this offseason that it's kind of hard to keep track. You know, especially I'm trying to keep with, you know, as the 30 teams and all. But Zolio, I do not. I do not see him as really kind of a bunch of a realistic anything more than role player type role. And that doesn't mean. But to be honest, the Braves have fielded some guys in recent years at times who I didn't see as kind of being big league, you know, type guys. And you turn around, I mean, I don't think there was ever a point where, you know, looked at Costanza and said, you know, that, oh, that guy's going to play, you know, get some significant at-bats or things like that. But so I could clearly be wrong. But it's going to be interesting to watch because I do think that you are right that for a little while here, there may be some guys kind of sorting through that it's going to be a step down. I mean, it sure does seem to be right now pointed towards the opening of the new stadium. I understand that in some ways, but also what seems weird about that is, and that's in a division though, like if this was the Central, you kind of almost have to bail out for a while if you're really kind of hitting a downturn because there's just so many different teams to hurdle over. In the East, I mean, the Phillies are, you know, downright, you know, awful right now as far as you look at their short and long-term potential right now, unless they spend a whole lot of money. the Mets just don't seem like they're willing to spend any money right now, so that kind of keeps them at a little bit of a disadvantage, at least the short term. So, you know, the Nationals just kind of, it does seem like, I mean, the Marlins are kind of, they're trying to be in it, but at the same time, I mean, they're kind of resource limited always. So with the Braves doing this also, I mean, if you're the Nationals, you got to be thrilled right now, because you kind of really feel like you're going into a season where more than any other division out there, the East is kind of, I mean, almost there by acclamation right now.
Yeah. I mean, concessions have happened already.
And you look at it across the board, how many teams in baseball are really rebuilding right now? I mean, if you go across the board, I mean, you say that the Twins are still rebuilding, I think. Mm-hmm. And I do think that, you know, the John Lester move, you can say that the Cubs have moved out of that rebuilding phase. I mean, they're going for it. You look at the Astros and the moves they've made, they're kind of moving out of that rebuilding. They're going to be at least trying to win 85, you know, and I'll see if they can get the playoff hunt. I mean, really, if you just go division by division, I think you could say that there's 3, 4, maybe 5 teams that are really truly in rebuilding mode, and 2 of those are in the NL East, because, I mean, clearly the Phillies are, because, you know, they have to, and now you look at the Braves, you say the Braves are clearly rebuilding as well.
Yeah, so a 79-win team last year, obviously a lot of war walked out. With all the trades, how many wins do you think the Braves get in 2015?
Whew. I mean, with the expectation that they're probably sellers at the deadline, which means, you know, they probably, you see a 1 or 2 wins go out the door because of that, at least.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you're only talking about 2 more months of the season, so it doesn't make as much impact as, you know, much more impact than that. I do think of this as probably a, you know, 70-75 win team.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there just doesn't, it could be better than that, but, you know, there's obviously can be surprises. But you just look at the lineup. I mean, part of that comes back to, okay, like you just mentioned, B.J. Upton. Well, considering where they're starting the season, they have a lot of incentive to try to see if they can get something out of Upton. And, you know, so does that mean, okay, you get 2 months of a guy who's almost a negative player from
right.
the standpoint of your offensive contribution? I mean, we saw that happen last year with, you know, that happened recently with Ugla for them. So it wouldn't shock me. And, I mean, that could be a really big drag. You just look at this lineup, and really the question is you know, I'll ask you, I mean, you know this lineup, you know, probably better than I do. I mean, how many really above average regulars do you look like, you know, do you look like they have in the lineup? I mean, again, it's better than you think of it first, because I mean, it's still Freeman, there's still Simmons, there's still a couple of guys there, but it's obviously, it's nothing like what it was even 3-4 years ago, clearly.
Yeah. Freeman, you assume Markakis will have a solid year if he comes back from the neck surgery. Simmons was a mess at the plate last year, falling over. His balance
uh-huh.
was bad. Like, you hope that Chris Johnson.
You hope you see more of 2 years ago Simmons.
Yeah,
which...
exactly. And speaking of 2 years ago, you hope you see more 2 years ago Chris Johnson, who was a mess
yeah.
at the plate last year, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, they have, you know, they have a lot of sorting through to go. I mean, and this is where it gets interesting from a player development standpoint. They've brought in a whole lot of inventory lately.
Yeah.
The good news for them is that a lot of that inventory is still a little ways away, because one of the things that becomes difficult when you have a lot of depth, I really do think that one of the things that becomes tough with that is that once you have a lot of depth and that depth hits the big league level, at-bats and innings become a limited resource. You look at the Astros, and, I mean, they obviously had a whole lot of at-bats and a whole lot of innings that they could kind of give to developing players in recent years. But they had a whole lot of depth, and it's worked out for them in a lot of ways. They could kind of, you know, sort through guys. They could try Matt Dominguez in third and see if they could find something there, things like that. But they did lose J.D. Martinez because in the end, they end up making a wrong call because they had 5-6 outfielders to sort through. And they decided, well, he's the one we'll, you know, kind of jettison. And looking back on it, they should have jettisoned an LJ Hose or someone like that. The Braves could end up having some of those decisions in 2016, you know, or so, because they're going to have some inventory to sort through. They're going to have, you, if you're a Braves fan, you hope that they're going to have enough starting pitchers to go with kind of the some, you know, they still have some established guys that you look back on and go, okay, the tough thing is figuring out how do we get all these guys starts, things like that. Those are going to be some interesting decisions to watch what they're going to have to do over the next couple of years.
Yeah, well, I hope the guys look like they have enough potential that becomes a problem.
Yeah, right now it's like, okay, let's get Max Fried healthy first. You know, there's things, yeah, right now there's still, let's see if Flores Vizcaino can make it through a season without getting hurt, because that's really not happening. Let's get Rule 5 pick Andy Winkler back on the mound. You know, there's a lot of guys where you say, okay, yeah, we got to get, let's see if Manny Benuelos can really kind of start to put it back together like he was in 2011-12, kind of, yeah, you know. But yeah, there's a lot of step one that has to get there before they get to that point. You're right. It's still a little ways away.
Yeah. Well, JJ, this was great stuff, man. We really appreciate your time. So everyone, you can read JJ's work at baseballamerica.com. Follow him on Twitter at JJCoop36. JJ, thanks again. We appreciate it, and we look forward to talking to you again down the road.
Thanks again. Also remind everyone, the Prospect Handbook is now out. And if you're a Braves fan, you get a little bonus because with all the trades, some of these trades happen after we did the handbook. So you get 30 write-ups in the Braves portion, but then on top of that, you get to also flip over and read, you know, Padres guys. Oh, those guys are now, you know, Braves. Or Yankees. Oh, that guy's now a Brave. So there's really about 35-plus scouting reports of current Braves in the Prospect Handbook. But thanks again for the opportunity.
Yeah, well, thank you. All right, you have a good night. That is the show. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as to iTunes or Stitcher so that you don't miss any future shows. And as always, check us out at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com for past shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.